Pray, Father, that the words that he speaks today would bring life, would challenge us, would resonate deep in our hearts. And Lord, that these would just not be words that would go in one ear and out the other. But Lord, they would sink down to the deepest recesses of our spirit. It would motivate us to godly living. Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. All wisdom is yours. And we ask you to bless this time and this word in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So if you were here last week, I spoke about the fact that God has called us and that he's calling us on a continual basis, in fact, and how important it is for us to listen, to hear that call. We looked at the story of a young lad by the name of Samuel, who had not yet learned to recognize the voice of God, and yet, as we read through the story, we found out that he did eventually learn to hear God's voice. And what happened is because he finally did hear God and obeyed, he became a great prophet and a great leader that ended up leading the entire nation of Israel and did many, many wonderful things. In fact, there's even books of Samuel in the Old Testament. And then we saw that the Apostle Paul was somebody who thought that he was doing the right thing. If you remember, he was out there following the Pharisaical laws and the rules, and he was out there fighting for what he thought was God, and he couldn't have been more wrong. In fact, he was actually fighting against God. And he found that out exactly when one day God called out to him on the road to Damascus. And when Paul listened to that call, it changed his life forever. In fact, it opened the door to the gospel being preached to the Gentiles. And because of that, we can be thankful that today we are now part of the nation of God's people, God's holy nation, a royal nation, a holy priesthood, a royal. And that's we've been called into that now. And it all started back then. And God used Paul as the one who opened that door. So both Samuel and Paul and many, many other men and women were used by God because they answered God's call. They reflected God's glory when they walked in that calling in so many different ways. And so today, every one of us are being called by God to do that exact thing, to reflect God's glory in our own unique way. If you remember way back in the beginning, we were created in the image of God. Remember that? In Genesis 1:27, it says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Now, unfortunately, we know that sin then entered the world. And so we were cut off from God. Remember, we were banished. The humans were banished from the garden, and we were now what they call at enmity or at war with God. So we were no longer really reflecting his glory at all. But then something happened. God sent his son Jesus to this earth, and he paid the penalty for our sin when he died on the cross, and he covered us with his righteousness. And now we are once again able to enter that throne room and be close to God, to be one with God. And again now, when we answer God's call, we are able to reflect his glory. So we can do exactly what Paul said in Philippians 3, 13 and 14. It says, forgetting what is behind, that's all our past, all the failures, all the problems, all the junk that we got into. And every one of us here, there's nobody here that was holy and pure. Was there? Anybody here that was perfect before? I know I wasn't. None of us were. None of us were anywhere near perfect. We weren't holy. We weren't righteous. We weren't really good. So it says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me. There it is again. how he called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So now we can forget all those past failures. And we can focus on what we might call the highest calling. Our greatest calling, our greatest goal. And what is this goal? Well, every one of us has a multitude of giftings. We've all got talents, we've all got abilities because God made us. And when God designed us, when He made us with a lot of good stuff in us. God doesn't do shoddy work. And He's our Creator. And when He made you, He put stuff in you that's important. Stuff in you that nobody else has that's just in you. And so now He wants to take those talents, wants us to take those talents and abilities and use them to honor God, to reflect His glory. And this is a part of our goal now. I'm taking a step here to see how this is all working. So God has called us into a great work as we are growing individually, we are also being called into something corporate. As we are here today, God is calling us into this great work that is the building of His church. This is all part of God's plan. And each one of us, we're called living stones. We're living stones. When we went to the Band of Brothers, we went to a church out there in Indiana called the Church of the Living Stones. That's a pretty cool name because that's what we are. We're living stones. That's what the Word says. And each one of us have been designed by God to fit together with each one's lack being filled in by each other's excess or talents or giftings. Where one lacks, the other supplies. So we're building this building, a spiritual building, a spiritual house where God can live in by His Spirit. And then through that, we grow and we begin to change. And it says in Ephesians 4:11, it explains this, and it says, Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip His people for works of service so that the body of Christ, that's the church, may be built up. Remember, Jesus is building His church. And so that we can all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. In other words, we can grow into what we were meant to grow into, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. In other words, we're supposed to grow into this fullness of Christ, into our reflection of God. And here's the key. That's the key in there, is attaining this measure of Christ within us. This is where our goal, is coming together. Remember, we were created in the image of God, and now we're coming full circle. You know, we were kicked out of heaven. Humanity was kicked out of heaven, cut off from God, weren't like God. Before we were saved, we had wanted nothing to do with God, or maybe we liked them from a distance. Now we've come all the way back around. Now we receive Christ into our life. We've welcomed Him into our life, and He begins to work in us. And now we're coming back to this point where we can start to work on this goal and become like Christ, attain the full measure of Christ. And this is the goal that God has set for us. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being," now get this, "we are being transformed." We are being, not we might be, not we will be, not hopefully, not wishing, not some of us, not others. It says, we are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. We're being changed from glory to glory. We're becoming more and more and more like Christ, and this is our goal. And once again now, we can reflect God's glory in our life. We've been called to this. What greater goal could there be? What greater ambition could we have as a Christian than to reflect the glory of God in all that we do, in what we do? Let's look at goals just for a second here. And it's important to have goals in our life, isn't it? To have a goal means that we have to have plans. We have to have some kind of idea. We have to have some kind of understanding, some kind of knowledge. We have to look for opportunities to move into that place where our goal is bringing us. And we have to work at it to make it happen. It doesn't just happen by itself. We don't get wise just because we become older, and we don't become a greater Christian. We don't become more like Christ just because we got saved 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years ago. If we don't move forward, forgetting what is behind, and press on towards the goal, towards the mark of our high calling, of this high calling that God has brought us into, the highest calling, the highest goal, the best goal. We can't be wishing and hoping for some magical event to happen. It just isn't going to happen. We're not going to get closer to God that way. We have to work at it. Sometimes we reach for the wrong goals. A lot of times we reach for the wrong goals. In fact, most of the time we probably reach for the wrong goals. We put other things ahead of God. I'm the Lord thy God, and thou shalt have no other gods before me. No idols. No anything before him. Sometimes we put other things before God that are really good things. Like our family, our children. These are wonderful things. Our wife, our husband, our ministry, our church, our work. Those are good things. But they can't go before God. Sometimes we put things that aren't so good before God, like trying to get rich, trying to pile up the money, trying to get filled with pleasure, trying to fulfill our lusts, trying to get more power and you know, stimulate our selfish ambition, trying to be filled with pleasure, all those kind of things. Now, those obviously aren't good goals, but sometimes they get put ahead of this highest goal of becoming like Christ. But good or bad, what we have to remember is that even though we have may have many goals in our life, and we do, we should have a lot of goals in our life, we just have to remember that there's one overriding goal that has to go before all the others. We have to prioritize our life. As Christians, our number one goal should always be to, who knows it? Seek first the kingdom of God. Okay. That reminds me of one of my favorite stories, and Pastor Don just briefly mentioned it. And it's a story about Martha and Mary. Just a little short story. I'm just going to read it. It's just a few verses. It's in Luke chapter 10, verse 38, and it says, "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her house to him." See, she opened up her heart. She opened up her house. You could say she heard the call. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet. Now, she really, this, as the story goes on, we're going to say she went above and beyond and put Jesus as number one. Mary got there. You know, I mean, yeah, okay, Jesus is good, but let's see what happens between the two of them, the difference. So the sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. There was a lot of work to be done, a lot of other worthwhile things. Food to be prepared, beds to be made, you know, a nice place for Jesus to sit. I mean, we got to take care of him. We got to do this. Maybe other people are coming. I got to make sure the house looks good. Those kind of things. So she came in to him and asked him, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Well, you wait over there, basically, right? And Jesus, I love this. He goes, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. Does that sound like us sometimes? Don't we get consumed with all the worries and the things that are going on in our life? And sometimes we lose sight of the bigger picture. But few things are needed. I love this. And he says, or indeed, only one. He laid it out. Mary has chosen what is better. She has chosen the one important thing, and it will not be taken from her. So he did have to rebuke her. He said, no, I'm not going to give her to you to help. She's sitting at my feet. She's spending time with me. And that is the one thing. That was her seeking the kingdom of God. That was her seeking the kingdom of God. She wanted to know all about Jesus. She wanted to hear every word that he said. She wanted to hear where he'd been, who he talked to, what he was doing. She wanted to hear about heaven. She wanted to hear about salvation. She wanted to hear whatever he had to say. She was seeking the kingdom first. She didn't care about making the bed. She didn't care about getting dinner ready. They could all starve as far as she was concerned. She was getting fed the word. That's all she cared about. That was the highest goal that Mary could have ever had at that time. There was plenty to do, but that wasn't the thing that was needed. And now this little story, this short little story, has Mary reflecting the glory of God all these centuries later. She was doing exactly what her heavenly Father wanted her to do. Somehow, instinctively, she knew that's what she needed to do. And if you remember, this is the way Jesus was. Jesus knew what he had to do. He came to this earth, and he said that he was anointed to set the prisoners free. He was anointed to give sight to the blind. He was anointed to do all these things that his Father had called him to do. He said whatever his Father wanted him to say. It tells us in Hebrews 1:3 that the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. You see, when Jesus came to the earth and he did what his Father wanted him to do, when he followed his calling, his goal, his purpose, when he did that, he reflected the Father's glory. He said, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus was the perfect reflection of his Father while he was on this earth. And that was his goal. He wanted to show God. He wanted to reveal God. Now I know that none of us will be that perfect in our reflection of God. There's no way we're going to be perfect like Jesus was. But here's how it works for us. We can reflect God's glory in whatever area God calls us to. When God calls us to do something, just like when he called Samuel, when he called Paul, when he calls us and we respond and we do what we were supposed to be doing, just like Mary did when she sat at the feet of Jesus, that was a perfect reflection of God's glory. She didn't have to do any amazing thing. She wasn't scaling Mount Everest. You know, she wasn't feeding 5,000. She wasn't walking on water. She was doing what she was meant to do at that time. Something very easy for her, to sit and listen at the feet of Jesus. When we speak out, God's given us a mouth. We sang the song, "I Will Boast." When we speak out, we can be God's mouthpiece. We can be God's ambassador. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us." When we do that, we're reflecting God's glory. When we do things and we do them for the Lord, when we're supposed to do what we do as unto the Lord. Colossians 3:23, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord." That's how we reflect God's glory. We can reflect God's glory when we deal with other people, with other Christians. And you know how to do it? It says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. So we're called to be servants. We're called to humble ourselves and become servants. And being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Now, most of us are not going to go on a cross. I don't think any of us probably will. But when we humble ourselves and we die to our desires, our wants, in the way that we our relationships with other, with one another, when we submit ourselves to one another, when we become a servant towards one another and see their needs, meet those needs, we're reflecting God's glory. We can be led by the Spirit just as Jesus was. Romans 8:14 tells us, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." Jesus was led by the Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit without measure. And he went about doing all kinds of great works. So many that it said all the books in the world couldn't contain them. And as we are led by the Spirit in everything that we do, whether it's worship, whether it's prayer, whether it's in our relationships, it doesn't matter. It's whether it's in serving, whether it's our job, wherever it is, whatever we do, everything about us, our whole life, should be a reflection of God's glory. That's our calling. That's our highest goal is to bring the kingdom of God to this earth, to reflect God, to reflect His kingdom, to reflect Jesus, to be transformed into His image. Just like Jesus said, "When you see me, you see the Father." That's what greater thing could somebody say about you than to say, "When I see Fred, I see God. I see God working. When I see Sharon, I see God working." Man, that's, somebody says that about you, that's a blessing. You must be doing something right if somebody says that about you. And we need to see ourselves as God sees us. Because we often cut down ourselves. You remember the story of Gideon? I love that story. What happened there? He was approached by an angel of the Lord, and the angel come up and says, "The Lord be with you, mighty warrior." Now, Gideon was a nerd. He was sort of a coward. He said, "I'm just the little guy. I'm just the smallest in my clan. I'm the smallest clan. I'm a nobody. Don't call me mighty warrior. Don't put me on that level. Don't expect something from me." That's what he was sort of saying. But here's the deal. You think that angel just did that on a whim? God sent that angel to speak to Gideon. God told that angel what to say. "The Lord be with you, mighty warrior." That angel was telling him, "Hey, God's with you and He wants you to do something. He's calling you right now and He wants you to do something. That angel was telling him to step up to the plate and do your job. And Gideon did. He took the challenge. He went out. And he saved Israel. They were being attacked. They were having all kinds of problems. All their crops were gone. He went out and fought the fight and won the battle. He saved the day. He proved God's power. And he proved God's glory. He reflected God's glory because he knew, and everyone else knew, that it wasn't in him to do that. It had to be God. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, Samuel answered God's call. Remember, we first heard of Samuel when he answered God's call. We talked about that last week. He answered God's call as a young boy. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And now Samuel is going to another young boy. I think his name was David. You ever hear of him? I think Eddie likes David quite a bit, in case you didn't know that. So there's this young shepherd boy named David, and Samuel, who was anointed as a prophet, now anoints David, a young boy, as a future king of Israel. Over and over and over again, we see that God calls out his people to make his glory known, to reflect his glory. So God wants us to begin seeing ourselves as mighty warriors, as mighty men and women. You might think, I'm just a small guy, I'm just a young Christian, I'm getting worn out, I'm this, I'm that, I'm too busy, I got too many preparations to make, I got to do this. God says, no. Listen, mighty warrior, I got something for you to do. I need you to go here, I need you to do this, I need you to go there and speak to them. You're the one I prepared for this. You're the one that I created that has the ability to do this job. So I'm calling you for a reason. And so like Gideon, we need to step up to the plate. And we need to begin to see ourselves as warriors, as world changers, as game changers, as people who can overcome evil with good. Because we can. We don't have to just let it go. We don't have to come under it. We need to overcome it. When God calls us, he gives us everything we need to get the job done. Everything we need to reflect his glory so that people may declare his praises. Ephesians 1:18 through 20 says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened or opened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Do you believe in God? Do you believe that God has the ability to be powerful? And that he can put that power in somebody like Moses, somebody like Jesus, somebody like Paul, somebody like Gideon, somebody like you? Sure he can. Sure he can. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. How should we answer God when he calls us? Think about that. How should I? You say that to yourself. How should I answer God when he calls me? One name jumped out at me, and it's in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verse 8. And I think this is what we should, how we should look at, how we should expect to answer God when he calls me. This is what we should think. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send. And who will go for us? Who will do this work? Who will answer this call? Who will be the one? And you know what Isaiah said?
Here I am, Lord. Send me.
Speak, Lord, Samuel said, for your servant is listening. Can that be us? Can that be you? Think about that. Can you say that? Can you say, send me, Lord. Send me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Tell me, Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. Answer the call. When the phone's ringing and it's God, pick it up. Pick it up. Answer that call. And when you answer that call, you will reflect the glory of God. Let's close in prayer. Father, we want to thank you. We thank you so much. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you that you have called us, that you have chosen us, that you have brought us into the family, that you are calling us to do your will, that you have marked out a race for us, that you have marked out a course for us, that we know we have boundaries, we have areas where we shouldn't stray, and then we have an area where we should be. Lord, help us to walk that path, to fulfill that purpose, to fulfill that call and reflect your glory. In Jesus' name, amen, Father. Amen. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.